We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The new wave nonsense. Like what? Flock of Seagulls? Yeah.
Just that synth-heavy kind of stuff.
Duran?
Yeah.
Boy like, George?
Give me one Duran Duran song.
How about 80s fine. Joel?
I'm all right with 80s Joel. I wouldn't necessarily start a cover band that only does 80s Joel, but
how about Aerosmith's return to prominence in the
80s? No, I think you should know that I'm like the biggest Aerosmith is an overrated band guy of all time. I do not find them to, like, people lump them in with the Rolling Stones in terms of rock bands, and I'm just like, that you should personally apologize to everybody in the Rolling Stones for doing
how
that.
How about hair bands? Your Def Leppard, Motley Crue.
You can appreciate the cheesy value of a Lick It Up from Kiss here, or like a, you know, a Motley Crue, yes. Mm. The hits. But I don't want to listen to them like do album cuts. You know what I mean?
You don't like deep cuts. You don't like love ballads.
Those bands, I almost said teams. Those bands don't have deep cuts. They just have trash that nobody wants to listen to.
First text of the show comes in. No surprise Mueller hates 80s music. What does he like? IPAs and the Browns?
Do you think that people actually believe that my favorite team is the Browns and that I was born in Cleveland? Has it gotten to the point where a majority of our listeners think I was born at, like, Cleveland Clinic?
I do say, though, that your love of good beer is cut through with our audience, that is one of the
But I think
loves
they're saying the IPAs thing, mentioned. Like, dismissively. I think that people who are mentioning it in that context are doing so derisively, like, oh, why can't he drink a lager like a man? Like, that kind of thing. He took our germs!
Why can't he have...
I won't do that again.
Why can't he have a fridge full of, like, Icy Light and Coors Light pounders, that kind of thing?
I played golf on Saturday, and I drank a Budweiser, a Bud Heavy. Okay?
Yeah.
Anybody's out there wants to know, I drank a mass-produced, macro-brewed lager. I want you to know that.
And?
It was fine. I like it. It's a good beer. Most people that brew craft beer like those beers because they're so hard to make correctly, those lagers.
Steiny,
that's like a poorly kept secret.
Steiny is producing today. He usually doesn't have a take on what we're talking about unless it's related to Dale Earnhardt's career. Or debating the merits of, you know, Talladega versus Daytona.
NASCAR Truck Series. Yeah.
Yes. But the comment there about Aerosmith has him reeling already. He's already contemplating just mailing in the rest of the show. He's not a fan of that remark by you. He's livid over it, actually.
I can name like two Aerosmith songs that I think, maybe three, that I think are okay.
Okay?
But that... Yeah, I just don't. I find them to just be like.
You hear that,
so Steiny?
The best
so
you can say about Aerosmith is okay music.
It's brutal.
Make an argument then.
I agree with your take on the 80s Aerosmith. That stuff's not very good.
How about Love in an Elevator? Do you like songs like that?
What's that?
Love in an Elevator by Aerosmith?
I can't stand
that. How about
that
the one from the Armageddon soundtrack? Don't Want to Miss a Thing. Does that do anything for you?
No, I'm not a fan.
You know what Aerosmith song I think is okay, and probably most Aerosmith fans
Dream
hate
on?
It? No. That one's okay. Crying is such a cheesy, trashy song, and it sounds like it could have been written by a guy like in, you know, Intro to Music who was just learning how to write songs, but it's so cheesy and it's so trashy. I like it.
Okay.
I think that was done in 1990, by the way.
I like
Steiny.
The one
Crying comes from
I like
90.
The one that has the girl from Clueless in the music video.
Dude looks like a lady?
No. Is that off the Mrs. Doubtfire soundtrack? Because I'm pretty sure it is.
Yes. I believe it is.
I, as per usual, think my opinion on the Steelers draft is different from just about everyone's. Like, I once again think that I, like, what do they call those, what do they call those drawings when you go into a psychologist's office and it's...
Oh, Rorschach test.
Yeah, the Rorschach test. Like, what do you see here? And people see one thing, and we're looking at the same nine players.
So you feel like you have separated yourself again and feel that you are fully unique in your view
right,
of their draft.
I don't know about fully unique, but I think it's, again, the minority opinion. On Friday, we were getting lambasted by Steelers fans because we had the gall to say that taking a running back in the first round was a bad idea, was a bad move, and we got roasted for it by Steelers fans. But I'm still totally comfortable in that space. I'm not going to back off of that opinion just because it's not the popular one. But I think the way I view their draft is different. It's probably... When people came out of the draft maybe miffed or puzzled or even upset with what the Steelers did, I think it hinges on how you feel about Freiermuth. I think that's the swing pick. Because a lot of Steelers fans who liked the Najee Harris pick were pissed off that the Steelers didn't take a center or an offensive lineman with that pick. My take is that pick made the Freiermuth pick made their draft for me. Because I think
you said they were going to pick him,
no,
didn't you?
No, I did, but then I backed out. At 5:22 on Friday, I said they're taking Freiermuth, and then by 5:25, I talked myself out of it. So, congratulations, Andrew. No, I think he's going to make their draft. I think he will end up being the best player that they took in this draft. And even though he doesn't fill an immediate need, because you have Ebron on the team making a ton of money, I think just like in the 12 draft... In the 13 draft, when Le'Veon Bell was the best pick in the second round and Jarvis Jones was a flop, I think that's what's going to happen here. I think
Why do you like Freiermuth so much? What about him? Like, here's what I look at when I see him, and I have maybe a different opinion on him. I don't think he's a bad pick, per se, in a vacuum, but this doesn't happen in a vacuum. He seems to me like a pretty high-floor guy. But this idea that they drafted Baby Gronk because that's his nickname and he's a big physical.
Well, how many Baby Gronks aren't there?
Seems a little bit much.
Wasn't Nick Vanette nicknamed Baby Gronk?
Yes, he sucked.
He sucked.
He sucked.
Yeah, but
like I heard somebody compare. I saw. I think Jerry Dulac. No, maybe it wasn't.
Well,
Jerry,
Dulac gave the draft an A++, so he probably compared.
No, he gave it an A. He gave it an A, and he gave Najee Harris an A+. But he gave the draft overall an A.
Did Dulac go to Penn State?
I don't know.
Okay.
Actually, no idea. I know Jerry blocked me on Friday.
I heard about that.
That's neither here nor
there. I heard about that through the grapevine.
It was a tough,
by grapevine,
tough
I mean you texted me to say Jerry Dulac blocked me.
I caught a Dulac block. They should have drafted him in the second round. I've seen all this like Baby Gronk stuff about him. I saw somebody compare him to like what he'll provide this year to be what Vance McDonald provided last year. And I thought to myself, I didn't really like Vance McDonald last year, and he retired afterwards because he wasn't very good anymore. Like I guess let me put it this way. When you say he might determine their draft, Freiermuth, like his career will be like the swing pick in this draft, will represent why you like it so much. I see like maybe Mark Bruner 2.0, but better, I guess. I don't see them having drafted the next George Kittle there and nobody knows.
I do.
He was the second best tight end in a class where the best guy was leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else, so much so that he's probably more of a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I don't see what you are projecting here, especially, and I get this out too, especially if it's one more year of Ben Roethlisberger and then a question mark.
Well, you know, I'm not evaluating these guys.
I know you're evaluating them individually. You have made your rubric very clear here. You evaluate each pick on its own merits, and you don't necessarily take this holistic, multifaceted approach. He probably will be a good NFL player, but that's where I stop. Good, not like transformative.
Oh, see, I think he can be. I think he's.
What about his history? So that's what I want to dig into here. What about Pat Freiermuth do you think is going to be so good? And why were you not really beating the drum for him until 5:22, at which point you stopped beating the drum at 5:25? Serious? I'm kidding around with you, but I'm being serious. What is
well,
it about
I, wasn't,
him? I respect your opinion. You vote for the Heisman Trophy.
I wasn't.
Out loud.
I was not in the weeks leading up to the draft, it wasn't the 2020 draft. We weren't talking about what the Steelers should do with their second round pick. We were talking about what they should do with pick 24. And nobody who covers the draft really had Freiermuth as someone who would go in the top 30 to 35 picks. So I didn't think the Steelers had to take him there. That's why I personally didn't spend a lot of time talking about his draft ratings or what I thought of him as a player.
This was a pleasant surprise for you. No, it was really not.
Well, it was not a total surprise. That's why I brought up Friday that they could draft him, that he was on their radar, that he was someone that they liked, that he was a first round sleeper.
But you're reacting to him being drafted by them at 55. Like they got a steal. You were ultimately pleasantly surprised, but like your overall coloring of this draft, I think, is indicative of the idea that you would have been very happy had they gotten him, but you generally did not think that there was any chance that they would get him because you didn't think, and this is where I really wanted to go here, you didn't think they were seriously looking at him. So I think you're reevaluating the way they are drafting based on this pick.
I was concerned, like they did in the first round, that they were gonna go by need again in the second round. And that they were going to pass on Freiermuth because they needed Creed Humphrey or they needed Josh Myers. And instead, they took, in my opinion, what they should have done with the 24th pick. They just picked the best guy. And a running back can't be the best guy in the first round because they don't have long careers. And when you take a player in the first round with the fifth year option and, you know, really, when you're not a big player in free agency, what you do in the first round, that's the backbone, that's the lifeblood of your organization. So to me, this pick, I thought when the college football season started last year that Freiermuth could have been picked ahead of Pitts. Like those guys were, there was not this gulf between those two tight end prospects before last college football season. And then Pitts had this incredible year that made him, from a production standpoint, like the greatest tight end in college football history, and that's how he goes fourth in the draft. And then look at Freiermuth. He was not healthy. He had Sean Clifford as his quarterback, and he had an awful offensive line. So his production went down. We know that tight ends can't throw themselves the football. So I think that he fell in the draft. I still do not think. I know where Pitts was picked fourth says that tight ends are valued properly, but I still don't think they are. I think tight ends are the ultimate weapon in college football. And the fact that running backs go ahead of them and the fact that like five or six wide receivers go ahead of the second best tight end boggles my mind.
You mean pro football? You think that the ultimate weapon, okay, yes. You said college.
Oh, I mean,
but hold on. I think there's a reason that you see so few of them drafted the way Pitts was. I think most of them aren't really that good. Like, I think people try to...
Well, tight ends in college football are a dying breed. They're a dinosaur because more and more teams are going spread offense. It's harder to find a Pat Freiermuth in college football now.
Again, fair enough. Kyle Pitts is closer in terms of body type to a big wide receiver than he is anything, although he weighed in like 6 pounds less than Freiermuth, so he's not really... Like, body composition might be different. My point is this. I just think that while they're the ultimate weapon, I also, in the pros these days, I would agree with you, it's really hard to find really good ones. Like, this is a thin class, and just because you think they're the ultimate weapon doesn't mean Freiermuth is going to end up actually being one of those.
Well, do you know
weapons.
Who George Kittle's college quarterback was at Iowa? Who was it?
One of those it wasn't Beathard. It was probably some other, I was going to say something funny.
How about Kelsey at tight end? I think the guys that beat Pitt in
he
those.
He played at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Okay.
I think those guys
who
beat Pitt
outside of those two are
were
there?
Gone
How many
by
other
then?
Guys outside of those two are there in the NFL, though? You just named the two best.
Yeah.
Unequivocally. There's 32 teams. There's not that many really
well,
good
right.
ones, man.
I think they got a guy who has a chance to. Yeah. I mean, Gronkowski was a second-round pick because he was hurt, just like Freiermuth was last year, and he played at Arizona and not one of these places where they scored a bajillion points. I think if Pat Freiermuth had played with Kyle Trask in that offense at Florida, he would have had ridiculous numbers and would have gone before the 55th pick. I don't know, man.
I look at it. It's like I'm looking at like the bio. I didn't watch a ton of Penn State, but when I see like Dane Brugler, who does a big draft guide, like, and is a pretty respected dude over at The Athletic, say he's not an explosive athlete, that he's not a good enough blocker to be baby Gronk, but that he's going to be pretty dependable. I read, like, solid tight end that you're happy to have, but not somebody that completely changes the complexion of your offense.
I would say to anybody who has that evaluation of him, go back and watch 2019 when he was at Penn State, and they were not a good team. They were pretty much a great team. And he was their leading receiver, and he made all kinds of plays. He made plays close to the line of scrimmage. He made plays downfield. He made plays in the red zone. I think, look, it all depends
on how... PFF says poor man's Rob Gronkowski, but again, the key words there are poor man's. Like, it sounds like you're telling me you think they just drafted a guy who's going to be one of the best tight ends in football
yes.
for the next 10 to 12 years.
I think he's got a shot. I mean, obviously, environment matters and how the offensive coordinator uses him and who the quarterback is. You know, if he's got Bupkis at the quarterback position and a guy that can't make plays, you know, the tight ends.
Well, that's also indicative of the fact that you're grading the Freiermuth thing, or the Freiermuth thing, excuse me, I'll say his name correctly. You're grading it more because you're grading it based on what it'll be in 2022 and beyond. And I know you and I have looked at the 2021 draft as very much like they should be looking down the road because 2021 season is who cares at this point.
The kid from Penn State is intriguing to me. I don't know that he's a first round pick. The Freiermuth, I believe his name is.
Go on.
I mean, to Ron's to defend Ron for the first time and only time in my life. That's not exactly a name that just rolls off the tongue easily. But my point is, everything I'm hearing you say about Freiermuth tells me you looked at the Steelers as a dead-in-the-water team in 2021, which is fine. I look at them the same way. It's just different from how every other team, I think, ultimately looks at probably their first two picks in every draft. They
from Penn State University, tight end! Woo!
Yes. They got
Rick
Franco
Flair.
Fired up. But also, Franco's a Penn State alum, and he got the guy's name wrong. There's no excuse for that. Ron, yeah, he watches Penn State football, but he's not part of the Penn State family. Right?
I mean, I'm sorry. I just burst out laughing when I read the first pro thing on Freiermuth from PFF. Like a dad on the playground, the way he breaks tackles.
Select Pat Freiermuth from Penn State.
He's got to get the name right. Franco, please.
You know,
this
you
is
know
your
why
guy,
people
man.
Should know Freiermuth? Do you know why people should know the E-I-E-R, though?
Why?
Eric Zeier. We have a quarterback in the NFL in the history of the league who had that same combination.
Man.
No?
So do you think it was a good draft then?
I have it as a C-minus draft.
That's not
good. I thought the kid from – I had it as a D-minus because I was just – and what I'm trying to do here is be a reasonable person. I think Freiermuth is going to be a good NFL player. You and I differ on the degree of that, but I think he'll be a good player. And so when I squint, I see like, okay, he's dependable for hopefully the next 7 to 10 years, and that would make me happy if they got that. The kid from Illinois is just one of those situations where, frankly, I can't dive down the draft board and know about every one of these guys. I just had it in my head – that there were three players who were thought of as could start this year at center type of guys. This Kendrick Green barely played center. It was the only, you know, he only played two positions at Illinois, but everyone seems to think, the people that know more than I do, seem to think he can slot in and play well at center. If he does that, and by the way, if he knows how to snap the ball, he'll be an upgrade from last year at center.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, and Freiermuth is solid, then they will have done better than I thought, and I'll probably bump that grade further up to more like C+, B- territory, which I would have not told you there was a chance in 100 years I would do after Najee Harris.
But here's, like, you found an inconsistency in the way some Steelers media and fans looked at the depth in this draft. They would say things before the draft like, there are three running backs, and then there's a big fall-off, so you've got to get one of those running backs, okay? And then the same thing got said about center pre-draft. Landon Dickerson, Creed Humphrey, Josh Myers, Ohio State, and then a fall-off.
Uh-huh.
And Steelers media said that the entire draft.
Correct.
And then they passed on a center in the second round, came back to Green, and then Steelers media started to say, well, hold on a second. Actually, this guy is a starter,
right,
too. And it's like, well, why didn't you mention him before the draft with the other guys?
Do you need me to say explicitly why? I mean, I think there's...
Yes, please.
I think there's some
articulate it for
us. I think there's some pretty obvious water carrying being done in some circles. Or at the maybe if not to be that harsh about it, there's some Pollyanna attitudes towards it, where if it looks good for whatever they pick, let's try to make sure that it spins positively towards the team.
Well,
not every pick has to be. They traded up for that Loudermilk kid, and I saw people trying to put rose-colored glasses on to look at that.
Well,
that was looked at as one of the biggest reaches and worst picks in the draft, and it was on the third freaking day.
Well, you said poor man's Gronk. How about Butler came out over the weekend and said that this Loudermilk is a poor man's Cam Hayward?
If I were Cam Hayward, I would have texted Keith Butler immediately and been like, hey, what are you doing here? What? Excuse me?
We'll take calls. Steiny is behind the glass on the board. He's great at weeding out the good calls and the bad calls. I think Freiermuth made it a better draft for the Steelers. A lot of fans think it made it worse because they passed on the linemen. We'll get your thoughts on the Steelers draft, the whole thing. Najee Harris on down at 412-928-9370. Get your calls in now. We'll get to you coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.